Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to get right into the message this morning. Just feel like that's the direction of the Lord. But if you'll stand with me as we read the passage, we're going to pick up where we left off and in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down, there's that word again, into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise. Call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that you would meet in this place. We're asking, God, that you would take this ground and you'd make it holy ground and that your presence would be here. We're asking, Lord, today that you would open up our hearts and give us the ability to not only have the attention and to, Lord, to hear, but God, I pray that you would help us to understand what we hear. And I pray that your Holy Spirit this morning would speak to our heart. Lord, there were many that came and prayed and asked that you would speak to their heart. And so we're asking, Lord, that you would hear and answer that prayer today and that you would move in the depths of our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Doesn't happen too often in our house, but probably about a year ago, my daughter came down the stairs, and it was my wife and I were sitting at the dining table, and my daughter came down the stairs, and when she came down, she just kind of stood like two steps from the bottom, and she had this glassy look in her eye, and I walked over to her, and it was just odd that she was standing there. And so I said, Avery, what are you doing? I don't know. And I said, are you asleep? No. I said, well, why don't you go back to bed? Okay. And I knew my daughter was sleepwalking. She wasn't there. It's kind of funny. I should have had some fun with her. I should have asked her some questions, you know, that maybe deep into her subconscious. I was reading about sleepwalking. It's funny what people will do when they're sleepwalking. There was one woman who recorded her husband sleepwalking in the middle of the night. She found him at the cat bowl eating cat food. That's pretty bad when you wake up and your mouth is full of cat food, isn't it? One girl had in the middle of the night, she had gone out of her house and she, in her pajamas, had crossed the street and was banging on the door, telling them, answer your phone, answer your phone. And the old man opened the door and he's like, my phone's not ringing. And then she woke up and realized, and she's like, what am I doing here? And then she ran back to her house. Reading about probably the worst one that I was reading about was a man who was having a nightmare. He was in a hotel room and he literally believed somebody was chasing him and he jumped through the window on a second floor because he was convinced in his nightmare that somebody was after him and he had to get out. And obviously that window wasn't a door, so that didn't end well for him. We laugh about sleepwalking. It can be a funny thing. You can hear different stories. You can maybe, do we have any sleepwalkers in here? A couple of you? Great, now we know who you are. But honestly, let me just say this. It's one thing to be physically sleepwalking and walking around your house and go back to bed and we're like, ah, that's not a big deal. But I want to say this, it's a real dangerous thing spiritually. Yeah. Yeah. Right. When you're sleepwalking. The Bible gives us the journey of Jonah in chapter 1. I love how it lays it out. Because in the first chapter, it kind of gives us in the first couple of verses we dealt with last night, Jonah's rebellious attitude and how he, not a pagan, I just want to emphasize this, but a person that had grown up in ministry and in a godly atmosphere had come to a place to where it's my life. I will lay claim on it. My future is mine. And so he makes this journey to Tarshish. And as he finds this place and finds a boat going that way, the Bible begins to give us some description. And he talked about it in the testimony. Here is Jonah and he's running. And we remember why he's running. He's running from the presence of the Lord. It's almost like, you know, last night playing peekaboo. You know, if I can't see you, then you can't see me. And he's got a coat over his head. But I want you to notice in verse 3, it's interesting how the words are laid out. In verse 3, the verse begins with, "But Jonah," and here he is fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And then in verse 4, I want you to notice the faithfulness of an almighty God, where it begins in verse 4, "But the Lord." Verse 3 is "but Jonah." And by the way, let me just say this. God will let you make your move, but I promise you that when you make your move, he will make his move. It's not like God says, well, they made their move, checkmate, they got me. Man, I had no idea he was going to find a ship going to Tarshish. Well, I guess Jonah's out of my control now, you know. He outsmarted me again, those teenagers. That's not what God is doing in heaven. God is saying, all right, but Jonah, but the Lord. And I promise you, his move will always be greater than your move. Notice here the working of the Lord, because the Bible is going to outline a couple of things. The Bible is going to give us the sea, and then it's going to give us the sleeper, the sailors, and then the shipmaster. Notice here as it opens up in verse 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest." Now, whenever you see the word here, the sea here, there's a couple of things. One, it's not just the wind. Notice the adjectives here. It is a great wind. It's a massive wind. And when the Bible uses words in the Bible, it uses them on purpose. It's not just for a dramatic effect, but he's trying to illustrate to us what's taking place. There's a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest. Now, I want you to notice the word tempest. And when you think of the word tempest is a kind of a breakdown or a root word from where we would get the word temper. Is everybody with me on this? Have you ever seen somebody that was out of control? They're raging, they're angry, they've got a temper, they're boiling over. So the idea of this, here's what he's trying to get you to understand, that here is a storm that is angry. Here is a storm that is out of control. And it's a tempest. Now, whenever you find the word tempest, usually in the Bible, if you do kind of like a background study on that word, it's usually going to be related to some type of hurricane. Down in Florida, where we've seen some hurricanes, and I've been in several areas where the hurricanes have come in. A couple of years ago, I went down to Fort Myers there. We were helping out some people that were devastated by a storm named Ian. And I kid you not, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. It looked like a war zone. I mean, gas stations, and it looked like, you know, some, you know, Godzilla just reached in and just mangled them and just ripped up signs and trees just picked up and thrown into houses and buildings. I mean, just massive buildings just blown over. Just amazing the force of what a 155 mile an hour wind can do to a piece of property. I mean, it's just amazing. So here is these guys, and they are not, listen to me, I want you to capture this. They are not in a hotel where the sign says safety zone or storm area. They're not in some concrete structure that has foundation and steel all wrapped around them. They're in a boat. I mean, they're in a boat in the middle of the sea, and the Bible here is going to describe something about this boat. So it's giving us some words here, a great wind into the sea, mighty tempest, it's angry, it's raging in the sea, and then the Bible's going to show us the sea, and then it's going to show us the ship. What does it say about the ship? Look at the verse, help me. What does it say about the ship? Come on, help me. What does it say? Likened to be broken. All right, so here is a ship that is built in their time frame to handle the rugged waters. And so the Bible says that this boat, now think about the words here, that the storm is so strong, the winds are so mighty, and you can imagine this boat going up, and then as it's going up on a wave, and I'm not talking about waves, listen, I was on a boat one time, and they turned around and went back in, and we had a chop that was 12 feet. I was sick as a dog. You know what a 12-foot chop is? It means the boat's taking you up 12 feet, and then you're going down 12 feet. That's a 4-foot chop's a light chop. 8 is moderate. 12, get out of there. These guys were probably 40, 50-foot chops. I mean, and these guys are hanging on for dear life. And the Bible, which doesn't lie, tells us this ship is about to be broken. The can you imagine dropping 40 foot and hitting water and feeling the boat just all the noise and the wood grinding against each other and the ropes being stretched to their mats, and these guys are the word that's used here. They're not sailors, these are merchants. The idea of the word merchant means this. This was their living. This is how they lived. They made their merchandise, they made their money, they made their living by selling and transporting on the sea. This was their way of life. Everybody with me on this? So here are these guys, and they've got this boat, and they're in this storm, and they understand that this is not a normal storm. Something's angry. Something is upset. And they're hanging on to the railing. They're hanging on to anything they can. And they understand that this storm is about to break the ship. It can't take it anymore. Notice their reaction in verse 5. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares into the ship, into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, I want you to notice two things in this verse. I want you to notice on purpose the revival that is taking place in the ship, because the Bible is giving us a revival. And you say, Brother Nance, what is a revival? Here's my simple Carrie Nance definition, so you can write it, erase it, and then throw it out and get somebody else who's got a better. But a revival is simply this. It's where men seek God. It's where we seek God. It's where we get serious about seeking the Lord. And all of a sudden you see these men and they're pagans. These are not men that grew up in Jerusalem and Judea and going to the synagogue. And they're not men that understand the law. Matter of fact, the Bible says here that they are doing what they know. Notice in verse 5, and the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Would you notice that God there is not a capital G-O-D, but it's a small G-O-D, which tells us that they called upon idols. These were pagan men. They understand this storm is supernatural. We understand that our fate is coming upon us, and we're scared, and we're calling upon our God. We're seeking. We don't know who to seek. We don't know what to seek, but we know we need to get serious about seeking. And then you'll notice in the boat how serious they are about seeking. Because the Bible says that they take the goods that are in the boat and they throw them overboard. Everybody with me? So here's a boat. It's a transport boat. They're carrying passengers for money. They're trying to make money. And they've got over here boots. And they've got over here rice. And they've got some beans. And they're transporting wheat. And they've got some chairs. And they've got some candles. And they've got whatever they think that they can take to Tarshish and make money off of. Are you with me on this? I mean, this is Amazon on a boat. And after this 40-foot chop, and they realize the boat's about to be broken. They're no longer, their life is no longer about making a buck. Their life is no longer about, hey, what's it going to be like when we get all this money in Tarshish? Now their life is getting serious about seeking God. And everything in the boat is now going overboard. Hey, boss, what about the wheat? Chunk it. Oh, what about the boots? Throw them overboard. Oh, we were going to make a lot of, throw it overboard. Oh, what about the candles? Chunk it. You want everything? Everything gone. Their priorities had changed from making money and living their life to seeking God and survival. Is everybody with me on this? It's funny how God can use things in our life to change our view. So here are these merchants, these sailors, who had dreams and plans, and all of it's like, erase the board, seek God, throw it overboard. What about that? We don't care about that anymore. I used to live for that, but not anymore. Chunk it, get rid of it. And then the Bible gives us details of the man of God. Oh, it's ugly. The Bible says that the captain goes down, the ship captain, the word here is shipmaster. In verse 5, he goes down, and notice this. Verse 3, what's the first two words? Oh, come on, help me. But Jonah, verse 4, first three words, what are they? And then we've got this tempest, this storm, this ship about to be broken, these mariners seeking God, seeking survival, changing their priorities. And then after it describes them, then it says, but Jonah. So here are these pagan men crying out to God, clinging to the vessel, casting their wares over. And then you've got Jonah. And notice Jonah here was gone down the direction again into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was, what's the next two words? What are they? No, you need to get them. What are they? What are those words? Fast asleep. I don't know how he's doing it. Neither does anybody else on the boat. How did he get so far
down. Because the word sleep, listen, it didn't say that he nodded off. The words are there, and they're there on purpose. The word fast asleep, the word fast, literally, if you break that word down, it literally means in a stupor. It literally means stupefied. It means he's out of it. It's kind of like, you know, have you ever gone in and tried to wake somebody up, and their alarm's been going off for 20 minutes? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I had a roommate in college like this. I don't even know why he had an alarm, because he never used it. And it's going off for 20 minutes, and you're like, hey, wake up. Wake up. And Jules coming down all over his pillow. Do you know where you're at? Wake up. Come on. You got class. That was Jonah. I can see him. Listen, it wasn't like he was a light sleeper. This guy is out. Listen to me. He doesn't care about you, he doesn't care about his God, he doesn't care about the Ninevites, he cares about one thing, and that's himself. And I want you to see the progressions, because listen to me, I think this is so powerful, how that Jonah is taking a step, he's in this place where God is speaking to him, because the word of the Lord comes to him in verse 1, yes or no? And then he gets an attitude and he chooses his direction. Listen to me, I want you to get this. When you choose your direction, what you don't realize is this: you become spiritually numb, or you become spiritually asleep, and all the world around you is like, what are you doing with your life? Why are you hanging with those friends? What are you doing? Why are you going in this direction? But Jonah doesn't even realize his direction, because spiritually he's out. He's asleep. Is everybody with me? He's going to church. Hey, Jonah, what was the message about? I don't know. All right, we'll go get in the car. Okay. Do we have to come back tonight? Yeah, we're coming back tonight. Okay. Spiritually, he's checked out. Does everybody see the condition? Spiritually checked out. I will tell you, I'm convinced that we have a lot of young people that are sleepwalking. They're in church, but they're spiritually checked out. And here is God. I want you to get this picture. Here is God taking their vessel and shaking it and dropping it and slamming it. And they're not even aware what God is doing in their life. I've got a family in my church. Boys not doing well. All about sports. Called me last week. Pastor, I'm at the hospital, and I've got an irregular heartbeat. And I'm talking about a very healthy, athletic guy. And they're telling him his organs are too large. His pulse was 25 at the emergency room, and Pastor, pray for me. And I said, sounds like God's trying to get your attention. No, that's the, God has nothing to do with it. Are you kidding me? Slamming your boat, and you're so spiritually asleep, you don't even realize God's slamming your boat. You don't realize it. Everybody's grabbing the sides. Everybody's crying and screaming and calling on their God. Not Jonah. Jonah's spiritually asleep. I want you to notice
the revival. We've talked about the revival here of the shipmaster, but as you deal with the revival, now I want you to kind of look at two people here. I want you to catch this. I want us to look at two people real quickly. I want us to look at Jonah, who is the spiritual man of God on the boat. And then I want you to notice these pagans that are seeking the Lord. The Bible says here in verse 6, notice the message. This is mind-boggling to me, the message of a pagan shipmaster in verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" By the way, that title was not a title of reverence. It wasn't a title of respect. It was a title of shock. There was mockery in it. He's calling him asleep. We're in the middle of a storm and you're sleeping? You got to be kidding me. I don't know that we can put the tone in the scripture, but I'm going to try to put the tone. Oh, sleep, what are you doing? Notice what he says unto him. Notice the urgency in his voice. Arise, call upon thy what? Here is a pagan shipmaster in the middle of this storm, and he knows what the answer is. God. What are you doing sleeping? You should be at the altar. You should be on your knees. You should be praying. That's exactly what he's saying to the man. And notice the condition. If so be that God will think upon us that we... Now here's what they all believed. What's the last three words? They believed we are going to face God. We are going to face eternity. We're going to perish. And they're like, there's only one person that can intervene. There's only one person. Call upon God. Would you pray for us? I want you to notice that Jonah, listen to me. I want you to notice that Jonah is so spiritually asleep that he doesn't know or recognize the solution, nor will he respond to their request. Do you know in this passage, Jonah never prays? Here is lost people begging Jonah to pray, and Jonah would not. It's pretty spiritually darkened. No, so notice here in verse 7. Whenever you and I have revival in our life, and you find this message here, the next step was this, and I'm going to lay it out there, but the next step of these men who are awakened that they need to seek God, notice the next step is that there was a resolve to discover and to deal with the sin in their life. Now, I want you to hear me when I say that. Seeking God is not just seeking God. Seeking God is a resolve to understand, to discover, and to deal with the sin in their life. Is everybody with me on this? Somebody like, "Brother Dennis, I'm asleep." And when you're asleep, you don't want to deal with your sin. You don't even care about your sin. So here they are, and the way that they deal with their sin and discover their sin is in verse 7, they would cast lots. Now, I'm not going to go into what casting lots was. It was something that they would use, but obviously these men, they were lost. They believed that God would somehow reveal to them the sin, the problem that's in the boat. Verse 7, and they said to everyone, to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots." I don't know if that was the draw, the short straw. I don't know if it was a certain rock. But what we do know is this: "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon who? Just discovered the problem, didn't they? We want to get right with God. What's God? Hey, God, what's the problem in my life? Am I bitter towards somebody? Do I have an attitude towards somebody? Do I have pride in my heart? Am I angry about something? God, what's the sin in my heart? Because if I want revival, there has to be a resolve to discover and deal with the sin. Yes or no? Because sleepwalkers don't deal with anything. So notice here, They come to Jonah, and in verse 8, there's an interrogation. And notice here, Jonah's silence, but the sailors are determined. There's a group of questions. Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? Oh, what is thy country? And what people art thou? And notice the sleeper's answer. You guys probably don't know this, but I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. You got to be kidding me. You fear the Lord? You won't even pray. What kind of a Christian is this that fears? You got all the words right. I mean, you got it down. What are you? I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. We had no idea. We never knew. That's a shame, isn't it? So here is their resolve to discover and to deal with this sin. And I just want to challenge you. Listen to me. You're never going to have peace. I want you to get this. I know this is the second message of the day, but I want you to, or second message of the week. You will never have revival. Revival does not come without a resolve to discover and to deal with the sin in your life. Revival will never come without a resolve to discover and to deal with the sin in your life. By the way, it's not enough to just discover it. Oh man, I got bad music in my life. Well, great discovery. What are you going to do with it? Discover and deal. The last thing that the Bible points out to us that I want to deal with this morning is found here in their reaction. Because when you have revival, there is a seeking God, and there's you see the shipmasters, their priorities changed. It was no longer about money and life and passage and sailing. No, it was about seeking God. We're getting serious about seeking God. And then there was this resolve. We've got to discover the sin on the boat. What's the problem? And not just discover it, we've got to deal with it. And Jonah, tell us, what have you done? What did you do? And then there's this seeking, and then there's this resolve to deal and discover it. And then lastly, here's, I think, probably the icing on the cake is the, once they discovered the sin, their reaction to the sin. The reaction to the sin. Because notice what the Bible says in verse 10. Jonah tells them, I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10, then were the men, next two words, what are they? Exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Why did you do this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now, I want you to back up and I want you to see something. In verse 5, the Bible describes this angry tempest, this mighty tempest. Everybody see that in verse 4? Okay, come on, get your Bibles open. We're not done yet. We're almost done. And verse 5, when they realize that they're in a hurricane, some type of tempest that's going to destroy the boat, and the boat's likened to be broken, notice their reaction in verse 5. What does it say? It says in verse 5, then the mariners were what? Come on, say it one more time. They were what?
Afraid.
Afraid. But when they hear about Jonah's rebellion against God, and they understand, listen to me, they understand that with God, he takes sin personally. He takes your sin more personally than you take it. Notice their reaction in verse
10. Now, some of you aren't getting this. In verse 5, it says, then the mariners were what in verse 5? Verse 10, then were the men what? You did what? You did what? So, I'll tell you a silly illustration. Probably about 6 years old, maybe 5 years old, maybe seven. It's hard to remember because it was like yesterday. My mom and dad were away, and my older sister was babysitting me. And so I'm going to tell a little bit of my age. So I was playing a record. And my dad's family, my dad grew up on a cotton farm, Mississippi. Won't go into the whole story, but their house burnt down. They didn't have a lot, kind of a struggling farming home. And but when the home burnt down, there was a couple of items they were able to pull out, and just some old things that they found in the fire. One of the things that they had is my dad had some glass bowls. So my dad was named after the doctor. And my dad's name is Reuben. The doctor of the town was named Reuben. He delivered all 10 of the kids. They had a big family. And so they had these antique mixing bowls where they would put medicine in, and they had like a glass where they would take medicine and they'd break it up and mix it into the bowl. So they had these bowls and they were sitting over there. And the mixer was a special glass mixer. And so I am playing a record. It's a Chipmunks Christmas album. Probably haven't heard of these guys. It was back in the 80s, 70s. It was the 70s. Guy named Alvin Theodore. Anybody ever heard of those guys? Okay. They're not as big in your day, but in my day, they were big. So I'm listening to Alvin and Theodore sing Jingle Bells, and I've got this glass mixer, and I'm over there with these bowls, antique bowls, and I'm playing Jingle Bells on these three bowls. Some of you are acting like my sister already. So I'm over there singing Jingle Bells and singing with Alvin, and you know, my sister had told me a couple of times, you don't need to play with those. Those are special bowls. And all of a sudden, as I'm banging on this antique glass bowl, it shatters. And my sister walked in and did what you just did, like 10 times greater. It was like a you are in so much trouble. And I can remember being 6 years old, and in my heart there was some fear, but then there was some pride. And I remember saying, it'll be okay, and I kept playing on another one. Now, can I say that when my mom and dad came home, that my sister's reaction matched their reaction? They seemed to be on the same page. Let me say it this way. They saw my actions on the same page. Where I played it off as, it's no big deal. Why are you overreacting? It's an antique bowl that was given to my dad by some doctor. It's not a big deal. I don't know why you're so overreacting about my sin. No, the question is, Carrie, why are you so underreacting about your sin?
Jonah begins to tell these guys,
I'm a Hebrew. I fear the God which created the heavens and the sea. And their reaction was like, what did you just say to your parents? How in the world do you talk to your mom and dad that way? What did you just look at? What do you have in your... And you're walking around saying, I don't care. It's my life. And you're getting deeper in sin and deeper in sin and darker in sin because you're not reacting properly to your sin. And you come talk to your youth pastor, and your youth pastor's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you're like, he always overreacts. No. That's not the case at all. That's the words of somebody who's sleepwalking spiritually. They're not overreacting. You are watching the world, and you are grossly underreacting to how wicked your sin is. And God is shaking your boat, and you are fast asleep. Father, I pray this morning, I pray you'd wake some people up. I pray that they'd realize how short their life is. They'd realize how great God is. Lord, maybe some of them haven't had their boat dropped yet, but Lord, I pray that some of them would wake up this morning and realize that they are fast asleep. Speak to our heart.